How's everybody doing tonight? I have a brief word, which actually fits pretty well because we're a little less time for very important activities, which is great. And so, however, though it is shorter, and this is obviously coming off of the last few messages that I've been teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, and we just did adultery, marriage, divorce, which were really heavier and weightier things. This is going to be nowhere near as heavier or weightier, but yet the Lord's words are weighty nonetheless. And so I want us to consider the things that we hear as it pertains to oaths from Matthew chapter 5. So let's pray, and then let's jump in, and let's go on a little bit of a journey through, again, the intense words of Jesus in this sermon, or in this sermon that he shared. Also taking note that, man, for those of you guys who've been in this journey, I started this series probably in like August, and we are still in the first chapter, which is wonderful. I love taking my time through scripture. So let's take our time, dive in, dig deep, and let's bless the Lord after we learn some stuff. Does that sound good to you guys? Let's just bow our heads for a brief moment. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this evening. We thank you, O Lord, for the significances of oaths and covenants and vows, promises. And Father, I pray that we put them in the right context of our life as we look through Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would not inappropriately bind ourselves with our words, but understand the freedom that you give with the words that you share. Be glorified in all things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Keith, you can have a seat, sir. So, oaths. First, welcome everybody, especially all of our visitors and guests. We have a number of you guys. You are welcome to be with us and fellowship with us whenever you desire. And we are just glad that you're here with us. So, once again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. This is, again, a message that's focusing on the importance of our words and oaths. Sometimes there are certain words that we use in dramatically different ways. And the Lord, through scripture, reminds us to be mindful of our words. Okay, even with cursings and curses, you know, we have to be very, very careful because the Lord actually has very, very strong opinions about it. He speaks very strongly against cursing. That is both kinds of cursings. And what I mean by both kinds of cursings is that there are curses that we may say as in bad language cursing, of which we all know, you know, explicit content, explicit lyrics, that kind of deal, cursing. But then there's also the curses that we do that I find more people in the church guilty of over the bad language stuff. And that's actually speaking death over ourselves. I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. This is impossible. And those kinds of things. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not whatever we would say in our hearts and our heads, or even the things that we may say over other people, that you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not smart enough. Those are curses. And the Lord speaks strongly against those too. So we want to avoid both kinds. Avoid them and seek the Lord for his wisdom and his guidance to keep our mouths pure, because out of our mouths flow and out of our hearts flow the issues of life. We want to be very, very careful about the things that we say, especially considering that we are the vessels of the Holy Spirit. And as we say certain things, remember, the Lord even said clearly in scripture that it is what comes out of the mouth of the man that defiles the man. Not necessarily what we may eat. And they think we're always so cautious. Oh, I gotta watch my weight. Better watch this and eat this. And oh no. And we're thinking, oh, I can't make myself horrible. Now, mind you, I'm not beating up on anybody who watches what they eat. I am really stuck on green salads right now, like really dark green salads, because they are blessing my soul and my body at the same time. But at the same time, if we put the inappropriate emphases on what we eat, back then, you know, there was like, we got to eat kosher, got no pork, da da da. I'm like, praise the Lord, that's done. love my bacon. However, at the same time, we got to consider what we say, because that defiles us in a greater way than what we may eat. Make sense? So let's look at the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. You guys ready? All right. This is Jesus is speaking, all in red. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all. One more time. I say to you, make no oath at all. Either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your own head. You can't make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. All right? Jesus is kicking out a very valid point here. And normally when I look at this, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is why? Why would Jesus make this particular statement? And then also, again, you hear he's stating it again. And as we look through the rest of Matthew 5, Jesus is consistently giving slight corrections to their interpretations of the law. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees had made false interpretations of things, normally for their own personal benefit. And normally when people are making various oaths, they're making them as well, again, for their own personal benefit. Now, men often swear by things that are greater than themselves, right? When I was growing up, one of the things that we used to swear by all the time was my grandmama's grave. Though my grandmama was alive, it was just something that everybody always said. So I said it too. Oh, I can play this. Oh, I'm good. I can play spades. I can play this card game. I swear my grandmama's grave. I'm like, and we just flippantly throw that out there. Anybody heard stuff like that? Swear my grandmama's grave? I don't know where that one came from, you know? And we swear on things like, I swear on the Holy Bible. Or, I swear to God. I'm telling the truth. I swear to God. You know, and we would say these things. And the Pharisees also swore on various things. In scriptures, it says that they would swear on the temple. Or they would swear on the altar. Or they would swear on the gold in the temple. You know, it's like, why would they make these boasts or swear? And mind you, Jesus did rebuke them very strongly for those things that they were saying. But normally when we make these oaths and when we swear, it's, honestly, the painful truth is, it's because our word isn't worth anything. And so therefore, we got to swear on something greater than our words because our words aren't worth anything. Because if you could just say yes and that was it, and people could take you at your yes, then you wouldn't need to add anything else. But because you have a selfish motivation or you're trying to convince somebody of something, you add all this extra. That is unnecessary. And that's what the Lord is calling out, actually. Because when we put all this extra in there, it is actually a poor form of love. Everything that Jesus does is to help us to see love more clearly, and that love can be more greatly expressed and unhindered. And when we add all this stuff, if we think about it for a moment, when we make these oaths or swear or anything like that, or these vows, there is a whole lot of junk that goes on in the heart and the head if we take the moment to think about it. For both sides, the person who makes the oath and the person who is receiving the oath. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. And we have to be very mindful of those things. All right? Also, more often than not, when we make oaths, we make them with selfish motivation. I just kind of thought through a few brief oaths in the Bible and how horrible we are as humans to deliver. Remember, for a quick example, there's an oath that was given for Paul. Anybody remember that oath? 40 plus men said, we're going to take my man out. They said, we ain't going to eat and we're going to kill Paul. They wanted him dead. And they said they weren't going to eat until they finished their oath of killing Paul. Right? Well, that didn't go over very well, did it? Because they were trying to take Paul out before God said it was time for Paul to die. Paul was heavily guarded by a full Roman regime and escorted safely away. I'm wondering how well those men actually kept their oath. I wonder how much longer they lived if they chose not to eat until Paul was dead. Another oath, also a very painful oath because I've been thinking about this gentleman often in scripture, was Herod. Herod made an oath. Oh, my girl danced so wonderfully. Whatever you want in my kingdom, up to half my kingdom is yours. Drunken stupor made this oath. She has already been set up by her mama, and she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. And then when that oath was made and she made her request, he felt bad. And the funny thing is, when we think about oaths and we think about our word, if we put too much weight on it, it sets really painful expectations. Once again, quick example. I may say, baby, I promise daddy's going to take you to the park. And then all of a sudden something legitimate comes up. How many parents have been there? Something legitimate comes up, and now you have to eat your words, or something is now compromised. Whether it's the thing that's legitimate is compromised because you really need to put your energy somewhere else, and now you're trying to meet the need of your child, or not the need, but the desire of your child because of what you said, or you meet, or you do the thing that's the real big deal, only to come back home to the issue that you had with your child because you didn't fulfill your vow or your promise. It's better for us as individuals to consistently just say yes or no. Now, if you say yes and you are unable to deliver, at least you give them the opportunity to sort things out on their own. You can explain things, but you don't have the weight behind your words of an oath or a vow or a promise, because that's what makes it harder. It's because you added so much weight to it. Why did you put that extra weight, knowing good and well that we as humans have never been dependable? Because the thing is, God makes certain oaths and statements, but the thing is, God controls everything. And he is able to perform anything that he states. One of the things I was thinking about, even in light of God not being able to lie, I used to crack this joke often with my teenagers when I was teaching youth groups. I said, do you guys know why God can't lie, you guys? Has anybody thought about why God can't lie? Because so much life is in him that anything he speaks is. It just is. If he spoke it, it is. That's why he cannot lie. If he spoke it, it's done. We don't have that authority. We can't just speak and things be. I can't say I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3 and always make it happen. I just can't. You know, it's funny, if we think about even the consistency of our weaknesses and our frailties, I have to use some personal examples. I remember once, and I'm going to ask the people in the room that I'm going to use as examples to just forgive me as I say these things, because I didn't tell them that I was going to mention them in this message. So, and of course, Al and my wife look at me, and I'm going to use both of them right off the bat. But even with our words, like, I remember as a child, I remember when my mom would ask me to do something. Right? So everybody take a moment, think back in their childhood when their parents asked them to do something. And when you thought about what your parents asked you to do, I had every intention of doing exactly what my mom said. I didn't even think it was a problem. She would say something like, son, I need you to make sure the dishes are washed before I come home from work. I would come home from school at 3. She would come home from work at 5. I had 2 hours to wash the dishes. It took me approximately 20 minutes to wash the dishes. But yet, for some odd reason, I come home, I put my book back down, well, in the middle of the doorway, like I always do. And I put it in the middle of the doorway, and the 2 hours would just go. And next thing you know, I hear her keys in the door, and I'm like, snap, why didn't I do them dishes? And I'm going to get it. I remember it like it was yesterday. I had every intention of doing what she said, and it just slipped me. That's because I'm human, I'm weak, I'm fallible. Make sense? And that was just in, mom, yes, I'll do it. I didn't even put an oath behind it. Can you imagine if I said, mom, I promise I'm going to make sure I do everything for you because I love you, mom. You're an amazing mama. Thank you for giving me my allowance last week. Da, da, da. I had all this extra stuff behind it. And then all of a sudden, I don't do it. It just makes it worse. I remember a time even with Al. I had a meeting that I had scheduled with Al. I was going to be at that meeting, and all of a sudden, my memory failed me, and I got a text message from Al, and he was just expressing his disappointment, because his schedule that particular morning, his mornings are typically busy, but this particular morning, it was really busy, and he blocked out time for me, and I didn't come through. Can you imagine how much worse that would be if I put all this weight behind Al? I'd never miss my meetings. I'm always on time. and our laughs because I am consistently 5 minutes late for every meeting we have. But we get the idea. We can't put the weight there. You know, I remember even with my wife and I put my word out there, baby, I'm going to do something by such and such a time. And if I'm chronically late, can we imagine what it would be like if we continue to say things, putting all this extra weight behind it with an oath or vow or promise and cannot deliver? It's better for me to just say, yes, but taking note and giving everybody the room to just embrace the frailties that come with humanity. Make sense? Because everybody can be, give room. The problem is when we give no room for the humanity. Because when you do that, it's actually a bit of a pride for both. And again, you're putting confidence in something that has never, ever worked. Ever. Make sense? So in any event, here, some definitions on oath. I pulled all these out of the Webster's Dictionary 1812. I actually, for those who've been following me on this, I actually downloaded the app. So now life is really good for Ron Sykes. I didn't even know they made an app. Did you know that? Oh, did I say it wrong? 1828. Oh, 1828. Sorry. 1812. That's my music teacher background coming out. Yeah, there is the 1812 overture. Yes, 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 yes. So here we go. An oath. A solemn affirmation or declaration made with an appeal to God for the truth of what is affirmed. The appeal to God in an oath. It implies that a person. The print is small and I even got my glasses on. It implies that the person imprecates his vengeance and renounces his favor if the declaration is false. Or if the declaration is a promise, the person invokes the vengeance of God if he should fail to fulfill it. A failed oath is called perjury. All right. And actually, perjury is considered a crime. Just so you know, perjury is considered a crime. All right. Skipping down, a vow, a solemn promise. And it's funny, these things, they're always like something solemn, something that involves a level of sobriety, where you are focused saying, I will do this thing, you know. Solemn promise, a vow, give, consecrate yourself, that kind of deal. I don't need to go through all these definitions, there's just so many of them in here. Let's look at this. One of the things I also noticed while I was plodding through scriptures on oaths is that they're also tied to a payment. That's something else that we don't always consider when we think about an oath. Because when you make an oath, it's actually tied to a payment of some kind. You make an oath, you make a promise, you make a vow because you are promising to pay something or deliver something. And it's tied to a payment. Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone except to love and to seek the best for one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And that's Romans 13:8. We're not to owe anyone anything except the debt to love them. If we actually made that our focus to choose to say, Lord, I'm going to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I'm going to love my neighbor, we will not actually give them the opportunities to stumble by making an oath, nor give ourselves the opportunity to stumble with the same thing. All right? Here's another consideration that we need to take into consideration. This is Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant, some translations will state, a slave to the lender. You can be a slave and bind yourself to your words if you make an undue oath or promise. And there's slavery attached to it. You actually bind yourself. It's funny, I have to think about my children here when I think about the slavery or the bind or the mental swirl. I'm going to try to read this. I try to write this out so I can say it as clearly as possible. But this is the kind of thing or the world or swirl that people can get caught up in. As I think of my children, I have a child that has the ability to craftily lock me into the things my wife and I did not say. and live in that context that I denied her a promised oath that was covenanted before the Lord while living within the context of my Nazarite vow with the shedding of innocent blood. And she will assure me that the rocks will cry out if I don't fulfill the desires of her fragile heart and be the wings that her dreams are rested upon. This is the world that my daughter, one of my daughters, lives in. And the thing is, I can't deliver. I'm like, I'm sorry, baby. Daddy said what? And so sometimes people will put us on this pedestal or on this position, and it's like, it's a pedestal we were never meant to stand on, and it's one that God is going to clearly knock us off of if we try to stay there. Make sense? Don't be a slave to your words. Don't be a slave to anybody else's words when the Lord has promised us freedom. Don't acquire debts that you cannot pay tied to your words. And don't defile yourself with what you say, nor give room for others to defile you because you are unable to deliver. All right? We're going to look at that rebuke that Jesus kicked out. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to observe this quick story, and then we're going to observe another story, and then I'll wrap it up for you guys. Is that all right? All right. Starting from about verse 1. Are we there? Then some Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples violate the traditions, quote unquote religious laws, handed down by our Jewish elders? For your disciples do not ceremonially wash their hands before they eat." He replied to them, "Why do you violate the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions, handed down by the elders? For God said through Moses, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who speaks evil or insults or treats improperly father or mother, whatever, I have that would help you is already dedicated to the Lord or given over to God." Verse 6. "He is not to honor his father or his mother by helping them with their need. So by this, you have invalidated the word of God, depriving it forcefully." I'm sorry, I must have copied this out of the Amplified translation because I'm reading this. I'm like, this is amp. I can recognize it. Sorry about that. I got to get past my brackets. So by this, you have invalidated the word of the Lord for the sake of your tradition. Verse 7. "You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy to you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips.'" This is the point I wanted to write on. The circumstances gives the better context. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, for they teach the doctrines and the precepts of men." After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said, "Listen and understand this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles and dishonors him, but what comes out of his mouth. This defiles and dishonors him." All right? Now, when I think about these words and commitments, I had to take a step back and consider all the other vows, statements, commitments that we typically make as well. Because we make a lot of them. Not necessarily even vows, but there's other things that we state. Like I think of like deadlines. Or is it wrong to have a statement made about your productivity? Or even to state that there's an expectation in light of certain things you said you're going to do. Like, is it wrong to make an expectation? You can expect me to be here at such and such a time or to do this at this time or anything along those lines. And the truth of the matter is, no. There's nothing wrong with making these expectations. There's nothing wrong to make plans. It is wrong if you make these plans almost as if they are a promise or something that unduly cannot, or something that you plan to meet in a specific way that you have no control over the other variables that actually come in there. If you say, "I'm going to do this no matter what, da 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 da," you're already stepping into a place that you don't want to be. Just again, let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right? Again, anything more than this comes from the evil one. All right? Now, one of the other things that I was actually thinking of is, what about covenants? right? Because that is a very strong vow, strong oath. And the funny thing is, even when I was looking through scriptures, when we observe the covenants, and there's a lot of covenants, the covenants that we observe have been supremely kept almost exclusively on one side. God's side. And it's funny, any covenants that we make even with one another, we will not do well apart from the Lord. We have one covenant. And the funny thing is, that covenant is actually shared or given with very exclusive circumstances. The covenant is between us and our Lord. And that is whom we are to be the most intimate with and to worship in a very exclusive way. We are to worship the Lord like no one else. And then also, we have the intimacy that we share between our spouses. And there's a covenant made there. Because again, there's an exclusivity and there's an expectation, even shared in a vow, till death do us part. My life is laid down in light of this covenant. My life is laid down for the betterment of this person, and this person makes the same vow to me. It's funny that anything else or beyond that is wrong. All right? All right. We're going to jump into one large chunk of scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 1:17-22. And this is actually in light of the Lord and his covenants. And then we'll call it a night. Sounds good? This is Paul speaking. And this is, again, the context is him sharing this from a place of exposing the Corinthian church to the grace of the Lord. All right? Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 22. So then, I'm actually reading this. This is the verse that I really want to read out of the Amplified because it's a little hard to follow, honestly, in other translations. But the Amplified does this one justice. It made life difficult for the other one, so I apologize for that. You guys ready? So I am reading out of the Amplified. So then, was I indecisive or capricious when I originally planned this? Or the things I plan, do I plan in a self-serving way, like a worldly man, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? But as surely as God is faithful and means what he says, our message to you is not yes and no at the same time. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us or among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but has proved to be yes in him. True and faithful, the divine yes, affirming God's promises. Now again, this is in the context of what the Lord says to us and the promises that he says to us. It's yes, 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 and amen, so be it, if you will. And he was highlighting a point or a picture there for a brief moment saying, did we actually say yes and actually mean no at the same time? Because sometimes, again, people will make that oath, put all this weight on it, and they're actually just trying to get you to agree with whatever they're saying so they can just turn around and do something completely opposite later on. And that's why he says, am I an evil man that's just making up statements to get you to follow the things of the Lord by saying yes when I mean no or say no when I mean yes? That's what he's calling out. Continuing on. For as many as the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered yes. So through him, we may say our amen to the glory of God. Now, it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit. It is he who has put also his seal on us, that is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his, and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of his promises of eternal life. It's wonderful that our Lord makes do with all of his promises, and that we have a promise of eternal life and an eternal inheritance in him as we say, Lord, I give my all to you, yes to you. And the funny thing is, we can also look back and say, Lord, I didn't even make necessarily an oath to you at this time. I'm just saying, Lord, yes, and I fail left and right. And the Lord is saying, because of my involvement, you stay faithful and steadfast to the things that I've placed before you. And it will be my grace, my strength, my spirit that sustains you and keeps you going forward. So therefore, the beauty of the whole process is for us to actually abide and say, Lord, I'm going to stay in you. Even if I say foolish things, I can commit and make it easy and say, Lord, I will not make a vow. I'll not make a promise. I'll not put foolish confidence in my flesh. But what about even when I fail with my yes or I fail with my no? I tell somebody no and I meant yes, or I tell somebody yes and I meant no. And I'm, Lord, what to do in light of that? And then this passage, Paul gives out and says, hey, the Lord's grace is sufficient and is enough for you. So here we go. Two verses to close out tonight. You guys ready? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. And last one, James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my fellow believers, do not swear, neither by heaven or by earth, with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, that you may not fall under judgment. Let's close our time out. Can you bow your heads with me? My Lord, I thank you, O God, for your word. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us just to think through the things that we say and also recognize that there's weight behind everything that we say. You have said life and death is in the power of the tongue. And Lord, we pray that you would aid us in using our tongues to speak life. I pray that you would aid us to be a people of integrity, a people of love. And because of our love, we answer honestly in the context of our weaknesses. We answer honestly in the context of your strength. Lord, we desire to be all that you have called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that nothing more is needed to be said at times, but just yes or no. And I pray that you would give us the strength to fulfill all that we say and do for the sake of love. Lord, be glorified in all that we do. We thank you for this evening. In your holy and mighty name, all God's people said. Amen. If anybody desires prayer, the elders will be up front to welcome you. Also, at the same time, we will have a reception in the back. Feel free to stay and grab something to eat with us. Blessings to you all.